Dear friends in Christ, today's scripture readings, as always, contain so much food for our reflection and meditation, but I'd like to single out just one common theme that comes through in the three different readings, because it's about one of the Ten Commandments, and maybe one of those we don't usually think so much about, the very last, the Tenth Commandment. That's about the prohibition to covet, okay? Not to be envious and jealous and greedy and want things and feel bad about somebody else because they have more than I do. In the first reading, we heard a very penetrating and even shocking passage from the Book of Wisdom, in which the Holy Writer puts words on the mouth of wicked men who want to kill the just one. It's like a little prophecy of Jesus' death and his suffering and death for us, even though he's not mentioned. But what's the evil behind their thinking? They hate the righteous man precisely because he is righteous, because he's just. His goodness shows up their own wickedness, and they are furiously resentful of that. So they plot to get rid of him. In the second reading, St. James warns the Christians of the young church he's writing to, in fact, to all the different Christian communities. It's a kind of a general letter. He's warning them about, even within young Christian communities, jealousies and bickering and rivalry and hatred, things that are tearing apart little Christian communities that should be centers of love and compassion. In not quite such a bad way, but still with the seeds of that same vice, that same evil, we find a fault of the disciples in the gospel reading today, the apostles. They're arguing amongst themselves about who's the top, who's the best guy, who's the one who should have the most privileges, be the closest to Jesus. And Jesus knows that's what they've been talking about, but what were you arguing about on the way? They're embarrassed, they don't want to say anything. But he knows what it was, and he said, look, if you want to be the greatest, you have to be the last. It's worth listening exactly to those words again, because these few words, dear brothers and sisters, have had a tremendous impact on the whole of history. Jesus says, if anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all. Why do I say that those words have had a tremendous impact on the whole of history? Because in Christian civilization, penetrated by centuries of the leaven of the gospel fermenting the yeast of society, we've seen gradually grow up the idea at all levels, even in the political level, the biggest, the smallest levels to the biggest levels, the idea that Jesus is putting here, that leadership is a matter of service. The leader is not there to dominate and lord it over people like they were his servants or No, the leader is to serve the common good. Right at the moment, of course, we are seeing the beginnings getting underway with the big election campaign for next year's presidential election. And all the candidates out there making their case. But in our system, what's the understanding beneath that? Whoever's elected, he's being elected not to boss us and not to tell us what to do, but he's there to be responsive to the needs of the people. He's there to serve the common good and not his own good. We take this for granted, even a Western society that has very largely lost sight of its Christian roots and is now terribly secularized. But if you look at history, look around the world, you don't find that concept of leadership in politics coming through from the pagan civilizations. The great civilizations of Mesopotamia, where the king was regarded as a god, great civilizations like China and Japan, where the emperor was considered the son of heaven or somehow divine. You know, in Chinese, there's not even, in traditional Chinese, there isn't even a word in the vocabulary that means rights, like human rights. Didn't have a word for that. What was the idea? The emperor is the boss. He is the son of heaven. And all you folks down there, you're supposed to just bow down and obey him totally. Don't you dare criticize him. He's your boss. He's the master. You're his subjects. And of course, that's very, very different from the cultural and political tradition that has grown up in our Western society, very largely because of these powerful words of our Lord and Savior. Anyone who wishes to be first, he has to be the last and the servant of all. And that applies, of course, not just to politics, but in any position. Those who are employers at work, they have to be thinking of the good of their employees. In a family, the father as head of the family has to be thinking of the good of his wife and children. Any leadership position is a position of service if we are real disciples of Jesus. So that sin of envy, of ambition, wanting to be number one, we need to pray for the grace to resist that temptation. Sometimes the vice of envy is being called the vice of counting someone else's blessings instead of one's own. But all the stuff that guy's got and I don't have it. Also in our classical tradition, envy has been considered one of the so-called seven capital sins. What does that word capital mean? Comes from the Latin word caput, which means head. And the idea is that these particular sins, this lust and envy and laziness and anger, various others, they are like heads, or they kind of generate other sins. They produce a whole lot of other evil actions and ideas and thoughts, words. If we look at envy, for instance, somebody has more than I have and I feel bad about that, I'm jealous, I'm envious. What kind of sins does that so often produce? Our experience is very clear, right? Lies, calumnies. How many malicious lies are told because someone is jealous and envious of someone? They want to get their own back at that person. Theft. Somebody possesses more than I have, so I'm going to steal it. It starts with envy. Infidelity, right? That can be jealousy and that's the ninth commandment, not lusting after somebody else's husband and wife. That's a different form. The tenth commandment is more about things rather than persons. People having more money or ability or a better job or something, whatever like that. Yes, envy leads to so many other sins. Lack of forgiveness. If there's anything our Lord emphasizes in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But envy can produce the opposite result, right? I'm not going to forgive someone because, well, they were mean to me and they've got something I have not got, and boy, are they going to pay for that. Lack of forgiveness. In the worst cases, envy can lead to violence and even murder. So, dear brothers and sisters, let's remember the Lord's teaching. We must avoid envy and ambition and wanting to be number one. And let's remember that if we're in a position of leadership, that has to be a position of service to the people whom we are placed, given responsibility over. Let's pray for a deeper understanding of this teaching of the gospel and to be able to put it into practice in our own lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Turn now to page 8.